It's Tuesday evening, November 22nd.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
And Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together, and that your truth would flow, that it would be your spirit, not something else, but your spirit that flows, and that we would receive it, and it would be your spirit meshing with our spirit. Amen.
Amen.
But I have had a series of dreams over the years of people coming into the church, people that used to be here, and so forth. And so when this group comes, I get choked up. I can't help it. Because it's not exactly the same. It's not anything like I would have thought. But at the same time, I have a real hard time with it. And Sunday night, Bob brought a message. It was actually it was kind of different the way that he does, but it was phenomenal. And anyway, it was something for us to get a hold of, because I have been that way all my life, but I never put two and two together until I heard the message Sunday night. And he was using some illustrations and how it worked, you know, one person talking to another person, you know, and pretty soon, and he was dividing them up. Well, it happens without you even thinking about it, you know. And it was a phenomenal display that he gave on Sunday night. And how old is he, do you suppose?
Mid-50s,
maybe? Yeah, we know. I think he's mid-50s. Oh. He's young by your standards.
Yeah. But I knew his grandpa really well. And did anybody else know C.L. Warner?
Heard talk.
And I still don't know what his first name really was. Was it Clyde or Clifford or, you know, or...
God knows.
Yeah. But anyway, he had deliverance go on in his church. And he got so much guff over it that he had it kind of quarantined to their basement. And he didn't really say too much about it. And when he heard that we had deliverance going on, he was all excited about it. And it gave me some real good insights. And not that necessarily I went by him, but you have a tendency to go by kind of what you're feeling in the, you know, yourself. And anyway, he used to call other church pastors and so forth, called them birds. He'd say, you know, don't worry about what them birds are doing. And he used to say that all the time, you know. And when Johnny let the church know that I'd sent him a nasty letter, and he heard about it, he says, don't worry about those birds. And I knew what he was thinking, but you know what? It's kind of hard not to worry about it, especially when most of the people you know have been hearing this. And my brother Clayton, who knew me, you know, he knew me well enough to know that I wouldn't do such a thing. And he told Johnny, he said, I'd like to see that letter. And Johnny asked him, he said, don't you believe me? And it was just kind of left right there. It never went past that. And of course, Clayton didn't believe him. Because he knows that I would never write a letter, a nasty letter to anybody. I just would never do it. And I happened to find copies of it some time ago, and I sent a copy to Virgil, and one of my wife had saved him. And I had the letter, just a real nice letter, the only letter I've ever written to him. And I thought, you know what, it really hurt at the time because we were good friends. But after a while it don't hurt. And after a while that's between him and the Lord, But it was hard for a while because and my kids were told that because of my sin and so forth, that these things had happened and things were going to happen. And they did. We lost my son and we lost Link. What was his
Ron Link.
Ron Link. And lost my mother within months, just in a short time. And we had the accident. And so you immediately think that you've done something in order to cause all that. But you really didn't. We didn't do anything. And a lot of good things happened in spite of the accident.
Connection with the sermon that Pastor Bob would have preached. I wasn't here on Sunday night, but Corky gave me a little report on it. And there's no question, when it is man's schemes that govern these things, it just is not right. But if it's the Holy Spirit that creates exponential growth,
yeah,
and that had to have been what occurred, in the Book of Acts, whatever.
Yeah.
The explosive expansion of the church back in those days, all over the known world, out of nothing. It was exponential growth that was the operation of the Holy Spirit.
And the whole message was the simplicity of what really goes on. That's what God does. He spreads it from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Otherwise, you're not having the same thing happen.
You don't want to be an Amway plan or something like that, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some kind of whatever the term is for those.
Yeah.
Those sales schemes.
Well, I think because of that move that we had and my whole part in it, I think that what it has done is caused a kind of a rift between me and anybody that wants to be a part of it. And I'm not sitting there at night sleeping or thinking about it or worrying about it, but it's like I'm not so sure that who I am is anybody's answer.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, everything that has transpired in this church has been just fine. Just fine. I guess measured by some systems, there aren't a lot of us, certainly. But for me, it has been just fine.
See, you're taking on some of that wrong concept of the pastor. You weren't you weren't the only one responsible for everything that was going on.
Correct.
I mean, you know, the elders, they were just as involved as you were.
Yeah.
Each person made their own decision.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
You just can't keep using, putting that on your shoulders all the time. It's not right.
And I'm not.
Well, you just said, though, you think some people aren't coming because of you.
Well, I'm seeing that the time element is kind of short yet.
Short.
And that could be a problem.
God's ways are God's ways, Keith. It's just fine.
I have a kind of an interesting testimony about Sunday night that you should hear. They wrapped up about 8 o'clock, and they started talking about where they were going to go and eat after services, which sounded vaguely familiar. And they determined that Culver's would be a good place to go eat because the other places that we might have gone to back in the day, they weren't open.
Right, they're closed.
So they went, so they're at Culver's. So I went home, and after I did everything and da-da-da-da-da, and I made a late Culver's run for people in my house. And I get there, and it's just before it closes, and I look, and there is someone there that I recognize who attended the service. And, of course, people kind of see me because I've been around a lot. So we were waiting for our orders, and I looked at the gal, and I said, I recognize you from the service at church tonight. She stopped and she looked at me and said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then she said, how long have you been going to that church? I said, well, I'm kind of one of the younger ones. I've only been there 37 years. And she went, oh. Well, it turns out that she and her husband and their daughter are from Spooner. And they happen to know a gal who goes to Israel and has written a book, and first name is Patty.
Patty Selvesa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she said, I was just wondering if, you know, I read her book and we were, and she said, she talks about her deliverance in this church. I said, yeah, I probably was there that night. Oh. And so one thing leads to another. We're talking today. I said, so, you know, why are you here? And she goes, well, we're good friends with Mike and his wife, the Mike that you know, with the beard and the leader of the Eau Claire chapters. And we just want to support him. And I said, oh, I think that's great. And I said, I'm glad that you're coming. And I said, you know, like that thing that Patty wrote, I can tell you that God has done a great many things within those four walls. And not that it's anything special, but I can tell you God has been there more than once. And she's looking at me, and I said to her, I said, I've been to all the services, and I'll tell you, they're really good, but they're just a little tame for me. And her eyes kind of went a little wide, and she said, oh. I said, yep, we've seen a lot in God. So, it's not to puff us up, but it's to point out that something that God did in this church with this body 20 plus odd years ago is still having an impact on this area. And to Ken's point, in spite of you and your best efforts and anything you want to try and take on there, because it don't wash.
We don't accept
it. Yeah, we don't wash it. Apparently right. God doesn't either, so we're just rejecting that. But here's someone who's referring to an incident that happened 25 years, 20, 30 years ago now, maybe, I would guess, early 90s, and is drawn to that event because of this person that they know, because they're from Spooner as well. And so, I walk away from that going, I don't know what God's going to do. And I certainly know that some of the things that I've heard, I go, yeah, been there, done that, check that box. However, it wouldn't be the first time that God would kind of loop you around the desert before he gets you over to the land of milk and honey, and so you just go, okay. And maybe there has to be different players involved, you know. Even Moses didn't get to see the promised land, you know. And he was pretty good at doing what he was supposed to do. So, let God be God. And I don't know, I keep coming back to that little insight I got 4 months ago, which is do not be part of the problem. Be an enabler for God. You know what I mean? You got it. And there's all the caveats there. I mean, you all know my heart. I'm not saying, so we're not sacrificing chickens. And I mean, you know, we're you know, spirit-led, standing on the word. But be that for God. And so, but I was, you know, God showed me this because I struck up this conversation. This gal wouldn't have talked to me at all till I said, hey, I recognize you from service. And then she then, oh, you know, how long have you been going there? Do you know so-and-so? Did, you know, she wrote about this deliverer. Ah, yeah, got it. You know, she went, oh. I said, I can tell you, God moves here. So it was kind of a reminder to me and us.
You know, I was sitting here thinking of things. And so that move, which started with love and got all messed up. So when God, I'm going to say when God, brings his love again, that might be the only reason why all that happened, because then we can keep it in line,
yeah,
according to the word.
Keep it.
You know, so he has to have somebody that can be like, I don't know what you would say, stewards of his spirit, you know?
The way that you know what's wrong is to have experience with what's wrong.
Right, right.
And in spite of being wrong, our hearts, I think, were in a place for God, and so God brought us through.
Yeah.
In large measure.
And forgiveness is a part of God.
Yeah, yeah.
A fundamental part.
Absolutely.
And it begins with that.
Yes.
Because of that, us seeking it and him giving it.
Mm-hmm. We did wrong things and we know it, but our hearts were to love him and follow him, and so he had patience with us, I think, and brought us
especially
through.
When, well, this is not a judgment on anybody that didn't stay, but so the ones that did stay for as long as they did or whatever, all of that was a testament to, yeah, their love and whatever, devotion for God. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, well, even if I suffer embarrassment, God's not telling me to go anywhere else, so I'm sticking it out, you know. And I'm not quitting on him, you know, as much as possible. So, yeah, all for a purpose which has not fully been worked out yet.
That's right.
In process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my heart continues to grow more and more.
Yeah, it would be one thing if it were all in the past, but it just plain is not all in the past. The present and future are bright as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Just bright.
Well, the thing that that has really affected me is Pablo and Candy. I mean, Pablo is my son. In a way, he's my son. And, in a lot of ways, he's my son. And his introduction to the Word of God was through us. You know, we gave him the scriptures and showed him what we were doing and so forth, and that was his introduction. That's what he did. And it has totally transformed him and Candy and their family in chili, and it's a marvelous thing. And Pablo's favorite person is Corky. And I look at it and I think, I can see things happening to Corky, and I can see it over the years. But I would not put him in the position where he's at. I never would have done it. He was in a good position, but now he's in a great position. If he can maintain it. You follow me? And that's not to say, you know, to make you puffed up or anything, but Pablo is just, he dumbfounded at the spiritual walk that Corky has. And I was dumbfounded at his walk, you know, at Pablo's walk. Mm. And his son, this, you know, from the college is going to be here, and he's going to get baptized again, maybe on Friday night. Next Friday night. What Friday night?
This
coming Friday.
24th. 25th, sorry. Friday.
Okay. And anyway.
If he's doing it in a service, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to do it at a different time.
I worked on him day after day after day after day after day. And he was a smart, smart cookie. And one day, I realized, shut up. Say no more. Because he's out thinking me. You know what I mean? He started seeing things from a college standpoint, not necessarily from the Word of God. And I had to leave him alone. I tell you what, one of the hardest things that I have ever done is to leave him alone. Day after day after day after day, we went through all kinds of things in the Bible. And then one day I had to stop. Because he wasn't buying it. And then whatever has happened now to Pebble whatever thing he went through.
Stroke.
The stroke and whatever. This has all affected Dominic. So I don't know what his wife is going to be thinking about it. But anyway, that's not my problem. That's the Lord's. The Lord takes care of that. So what's he going to do? I don't know. But I tell you, the last time I saw him, I thought, here's the old Dominic. This is the guy I talked to, and we had good conversations 10 years ago. Here he is again. The same fire and the same whatever. So, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Doesn't the Bible say that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I trained him up, but I gave him as many scriptures as I could give him.
It's hard to watch a child leave.
Pardon?
It's hard to watch a child leave their spirituality.
It is.
But if we trust in God.
That was really, really hard.
It's hard. But if we trust in God, that God will bring them back.
Yeah.
It's something they probably have to go through to make a commitment.
I went through absolute hell.
Yeah, I understand. Me too.
Yeah.
But prayer works wonders.
Well, we got to acknowledge that sometimes words can only go so far.
Yeah.
Miracles really do cover a lot of ground pretty quick. think, you know, Dominic, who knows about the body really, really well, better than 99.9% of the population, knows what God did to his dad, and he can't quite just square that up with science. Mm-hmm. And he's faced with, this shouldn't be happening based on all my learned knowledge. And he goes, yet I can't deny the facts. And so all of a sudden he harkens back to things that he heard. And he goes, you know, there might be more to this than I was. So, you know, and even Jesus said, you know, I these signs are just to help you further your thinking.
To get where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, because words only go so far.
And I believe we're going to see a lot more miracles in the days coming very soon.
I'm really wondering because I have been able to get into something that most people can't. And I play the scriptures all night long. And I'm listening to them all night long. And sometimes, as I'm listening to the scriptures, I'm actually right in the middle of them. I'm part of it. And I set it up so I wouldn't have the book of Revelation to worry about in the middle of anything. But you know what? I wish I had it now.
You want to take a pair of scissors to the Bible, Keith?
Yeah.
I heard just a quick thing of Paul, and I tried to find it real quick before I came, but I couldn't. But he's explaining how he got his knowledge. And he says, you know, I was not taught by man, da-da-da, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I thought, and that's now, which would probably be the same as the whole, well, I don't know. His case, you know, the Lord did come to him personally in a vision. But, so that's exactly what the Lord's been doing with us, with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not being taught by man, being taught directly, you know. And it just, I don't know, when I heard it, it just really sunk in and it kind of went, yeah, I know a little bit about that, you know. We've experienced some of that, you know. So, yeah, it's just not getting all hung up on one man teaching you, you know. Doesn't mean that men don't have things to bring, obviously. But they got to line up with Scripture, you know. You got to line up with the Spirit.
And it must be preparation for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is plan A. Anything else, plan B.
Yeah, yeah.
The Holy Spirit teaching us has to be, that's the model, that's the way it is. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit do it.
Well, of course, now, I see a little bit why he was saying that, because he was there. There was no New Testament yet, you know. So he was getting direct knowledge from God to be, and it was going to get passed out and printed and, you know, and kept along with Peter and various other ones. So it's really, when you stop and think about it, just Paul got all of his knowledge of who Jesus Christ was, and with the Father, and the whole plan of salvation, and he got the insight that it was for everyone, Gentiles and Jews, you know, and all that was given to him from above, from the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, maybe, and through the Father, both, because I think he knows he got it from both. But so, you know, it's like, because he didn't have any of that, nothing. Now, I don't think he got it all at once, because I think it says he was out, he was in Damascus for so many years.
Or in the deserts of
something desert, something, yeah. And it had to be that's when he was being taught, you know, probably. Well, I'd say it had to be, yeah, because when he came back from that, that's when he really started ministering. So, yes, that's just kind of encouraging to know that that's exactly what God's always wanted to do with men, you know.
And again, I don't want to puff up Keith, but it is a rare church in which the pastor, the head of the church, whatever, espouses a doctrine which is don't follow the teachings of man, follow the teachings of the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't, that is the opposite of being self-serving, whatever that's called.
And we haven't come to the end of that yet.
No.
As they were singing some songs Sunday night, one of them was three in one or something. How was it? Do you remember what it was?
No.
But it was a Trinity song. And I thought how you could copy or even quote these scriptures and sing a Trinity song, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you don't make it, it doesn't add up, see? And my brother Clayton, when he saw this, and we were up to, I don't know what was happening, but Joanne was still alive.
Yeah, it was some kind of get together. What was that get together?
I don't know, but anyway,
birthday or
something.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and we sang that, and he was looking at it. He was looking at that song. And he looked down. He couldn't look up, see. And after a while, he'd look up again, and then he'd look at that, and he'd read it again, and then he'd go. And I thought, I'd love to say something to him. But you know what? What's that?
Train.
That would be my wife sending me a note. I'm sorry for not silencing her. But I think Kim was referring to Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's it. Yeah. See, and for some reason, I kept thinking it was in Acts, and that's why I couldn't find it.
Well,
probably
there's kind of a parallel. It's kind of a parallel thing, but yeah. So.
But that's yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Well, because if you go, where did Paul get his spiritual knowledge? And they go, well, he was a Jew and he was taught this and taught this. And so you said, where did he get his spiritual revelation of God? And they point back to this, where he denies, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, so I didn't hear it from anybody. I wasn't with what they taught me, even though I'm a Jew's Jew. Out of this thing, it was through a revelation of Jesus Christ, which pretty well isolates it. I got this from him.
Yeah, because the Jews didn't have the revelation of the Savior.
Right.
You know, the Messiah.
They didn't accept it.
Well, they had a thought of it, but they couldn't see it when it was there. Yeah, and neither could he at first. Which was why he's probably referring it that way. It's
had to get knocked off a horse before that happened.
Yeah.
And the fact that Jesus is not a God, he's a man, is a real mystery to the church. And yet, whatever he was, God made him to be. if he was a god, God couldn't make him to be. Let the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus that has been crucified had been made Lord and Christ. God didn't make him that.
Amen. Well, I keep saying, thinking, you know, we can have anybody we want in here, and they can bring any message they want, and they can have any spiritually led service, and they're doing it right under 1 Timothy 2:5. And I don't care, boy, what Trinity song they might try and wield, they're doing it under the covering of the Word, which denies it.
And I would probably get a little bit irate if anybody says, well, we want that down while we're here. See ya.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
It'll be kind of like changing who we are, and we're not going to do that.
No.
And to be clear, I think, so Pablo and I were chatting about this. I said, you know, we talk about it all the time. I said, we've only been playing around in the Bible, reading the words for 40-odd years, and the first 20, we didn't get it. So, and when we got it, it wasn't us getting it anyways. The Holy Spirit gave it to us. So, you know, don't be throwing stones, and don't be like, oh, my word, and don't be judging, because, well, you idiot, it took you 25 years. You know, what are you bragging about? I got nothing. I mean, you get on your face and you humble yourself. So, but I agree with you, but I mean, just to your point, like, yeah, they're singing the song they go, right under that. And whatever might come out of it, that kind of, in my mind, and spiritually, it's getting squashed like a bug. You know, so.
How was the turnout?
It's good. They've been, I mean, their words, good. Different people. The first night was more of the old chapel people. And the last two have not been as many. So, could be just timing.
Yeah.
Other things.
There's been different things.
Packers game, deer running, you know.
Things could be, there's lots. Although I will say, I did find it interesting that one of the people who came to the harvest time thing the first time was at Pablo's second thing. It was impacted significantly what he said. It was good. It was just a really problematic the comment he came and touched on, where, you know, you hear how Moses lifted his arms up and held the staff and the water parted. The Pablo goes, do you really think God needed Moses? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you stop and think about that. That's the way that's taught. And you go, well, Moses was doing, Moses was just following orders.
Right.
He wasn't doing, he was, you know, he maybe made something be seen in the natural, but God was doing.
Well, I think it shows that God is showing that he does want to use man.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. There's,
but it isn't man doing it. Yes, it's God in man doing it, you know, or through him and whatever, so. Yeah, otherwise he would have just did it himself. You know?
Yeah, the best example was the ark, Noah. You know, okay, Noah, I got you a little project for you. 120 years later, he lands the last nail and says, all right, am I done yet? You know, and you think, God could have done that like this. But no, you want to know how to do it? You want to know how to be ridiculed? Mercilessly. I mean, for, you know, a century.
The very persistence in spending 120 years or building that is a work of the Spirit. Man doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He was getting some.
You know, I think I never thought of this. I think another side to it was God's kept put it in front of the people and said, "Are you going to get this?"
Right, he was giving them a great.
Yeah, it's
why
like,
does this guy do it? Why
yeah,
are you going to repent?
You know, at first you'd laugh at, well, now he's been doing it for 40 years. Maybe we should pay attention. Well, they didn't, but God gave him his. Plenty of time. Yeah.
God's grace is on display. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, that thing was just playing there.
And the Spirit definitely was on Noah.
Yeah, he
had the same conviction Paul had, you know, after, you know, or whatever.
And he probably had that kind of an experience, too.
All of them had convictions. You know, Moses and everything. I mean, Elijah and that. You know, it's like, look what they did. You know, when they didn't, and some of them didn't want to be doing it.
Yeah.
How many times does the first part of the prophet start out? Yeah. Well, who's the one that I was just a goat herder or whatever, and now you got me. Proclaiming this stuff to the whole Israel.
To the nation.
Yeah, it's probably Jeremiah.
You're Jeremiah.
Really
yeah.
Be doing what
that's what I'm, yeah, Jeremiah. Yeah.
That's a little too, kind of a little too big of a promo, don't you think?
That was, yeah, so it's.
But then there would be some fire inside of him that he just couldn't keep quiet.
Yeah.
Wow. Glory.
Amen. Amen, you know. Like I said, I've pretty much been paying attention to all the stuff going on. But that meeting at Culver's, I said, you know, God's got a plan. You know, I mean, these people are coming down just to be supportive of these people, and they're reading a book, and all of a sudden she kind of goes, hey, wait a minute. She's talking about this church, isn't she?
There's a little more history up there that she don't know about, too.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I mean, because when we were going up with Sandra, we were having meetings in their house, and we were going up there for years. And then we were involved a little bit with a few of the other ministries that were kind of low-key, but, you know, the one guy got a little odd, but... So, you know, but we did a lot. We did deliverances up there.
Mm-hmm.
With Sandra and who else was
Paula.
Paula.
Sandra, Paula, Wendy.
Wendy.
Patty.
Yeah, Wendy, Patty. Yeah.
Would be the...
Yeah.
And then Rainey.
Right.
But even in the imperfection, God is moving.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's as we like to say, you know, if you think you can't do anything until you're perfect, you'll never do anything. And so, you know, you just gotta go out there. And it's kind of a good thing for us to hear about, because, I mean, one of the things I think as a group we struggle about, like, well, when do we kind of, like, put it in gear and start maybe evangelizing or prophesying about this, and we go, well, we want to know when God's, you know, and it's like, well, where's the line between, there's that fleece, okay, you know, and being obedient.
You know, I sat in the last service there with Pablo, and I could feel something, you know, was brewing, kind of, but... And at some points, I'll admit, I've somewhat been jealous almost, you know. But then I thought, no, I know why, you know. So it's, but even then, it's like, but I'm not just going to decide to start doing it, you know.
Exactly right.
I'm going to be led.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm trying to be as open as possible, and I don't think I'm open enough yet, but I want to be led, and I'm making that known to the Lord, you know. I'm sure you guys are, too, I, you know. So, yeah.
I just want to be what God wants me to be.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, and I just know it's something, he's going to use it some way that's just...
just can't get ahead of the cart.
Well, you, one could step back and go, you know, kind of a lot of things are just sort of happening now. They're all kind of converging, and you go, well, you know, the Pablo situation and ended up, you know, bumping into the WH folks, as I like to say, and that turning around into an opportunity, and then that turning around for a gathering of more like-minded people in the area, and, you know, and what God's going to do with Pablo and through this. And as you said, we're not asleep. You know, we're paying attention. And we're waiting on God. And so, you know.
And we got to, maybe everybody don't want to hear this, but we have to keep in mind that Pablo's just one man.
Amen.
You know. Like anybody else, God's using him,
mm-hmm.
but he's not the only one he's going to use.
Pablo, to his credit, really wants the support of us.
Yeah.
The body.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
He is, you know, there's nothing, hey, I'm the guy that's doing this, so just back off here. I mean, it's just the opposite.
Down, and he's been very, very clear about that. Because he's trying to do it right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Trying to do it right.
I feel bad. I haven't been to anything that he has brought. Now I'm going to miss on Friday, too. We're going to drive down and see family down in Iowa on Friday.
I may not be here either. this time.
Well, I'll do my best to try and make sure that it's not a problem. I'll say, you know, I tried to talk him out of it, but he said family first, and
mm-hmm.
but he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get discouraged. You know, and if you can pick Fridays that aren't right after a holiday, you have a better shot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was sort of surprised. But I, there were other things I think that was going on in his mind there. I think he's trying to, you know, I'm not sure that, I mean, he's talked about every week, so I don't know. So I'm not sure what's going on there just yet. But if he, you know, if the Lord's giving him that much to share, then, you know, more power to him.
So. Okay. Absolutely.
And, you know, we've known for a long time. The Lord has given Pablo a unique way of looking at things. I mean, every now and then he would just say something, and I'd go, huh, okay. We were walking tonight, and he was talking about something. He said, well, you know, I don't want to say anything, but the cat's out of the box. And I looked at him, and I go, and then he goes, wait. Box? So I said, well, I think it's more commonly said, cat out of the bag. Oh, yeah, cat out of the bag. Bag, box, yo. but I'm just thinking, he could have been saying something on a spiritual point and would have said it with just that different word.
Yeah.
And I would have went, oh. You know, okay.
You
need a
different viewpoint.
Yeah.
Cats do get out of boxes.
And cats do get out. They love getting in a box and getting out of a box.
He was this giant guy over at Chile. And Candy said it in the crowd. Teachers and so forth, and one of his friends said that if he hadn't moved to Chile, somebody would have killed him because he was a gang leader, a big guy, you know, tough. But he was nice, you know, And I looked at him, and I thought, I can't see the old Pablo in there anywhere.
Well, there is sweetness about the man.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is,
it's just not there.
Oh.
And
my niece Jennifer, who is playing, doesn't have a spiritual bone in her body, but she walks her dog down here and runs into Pablo and says, "Pablo is a really nice guy, isn't he?"
Yeah. And he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's my brand.
She's run into me a couple of times, but probably doesn't say that. I'm not as nice as Pablo. Pablo is just really a nice guy.
Right after the accident, Joanne had a dream, and Brian came back. And once we met Pablo, we knew what the dream meant. Because that's who Brian was. It's like you get excited. Someday you're going to meet him. You're going to have to meet each other, you know.